Richard Burton and Liz Taylor by 40 times. This man was so popular. He was the first one to come on the radio in an era when singers were known as belters and they would sort of, you know, bolt it out. He was the first one to come on subdued and cozy and intimate. I mean, Gene Austin and a few had done it before, but never with the great appeal, the great popularity of Rudy Vallee. So Rudy Vallee, in a sense, was the trailblazer.
And a lot of the people that came on the Rudy Vallee radio show got their own shows. I think Kate Smith and Burns and Allen.
Victor Borge, Eddie Cantor, Joe Penner. The list is endless.
Rudy Bob
Vallee,
Hope.
Bob Hope. Rudy Vallee was the true, authentic star maker.
Yeah, and there's, I've heard the tape. They have it at the Museum of TV and Radio. He introduced Bergen and McCarthy.
Exactly, right. He met Victor Borge when Victor Borge was a gas station attendant. And he was always a little bit bitter that Victor Borge never said thank you for putting him on. But listen, they say, well, this doesn't take away from Victor Borge, who's the nicest guy in the world. But I'm saying they say that you need big binoculars to find gratitude in show business, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many superstars that I had on my show, people always say, do they come back? Most of them don't want to come back. I gave the first exposure to, I mean, I don't want to go into names, but they don't want to come back. Well, Bill Cosby came back. Woody Allen came back. Most of them don't want to be reminded of the times when they were broke. I represent them, the times that they were penniless, and they don't. I guess it's human nature, right? Maybe it's shallow, but it's human nature. Maybe I wouldn't want to be reminded of the times when I was penniless. Not that I've got a nickel, right? But that is kind of interesting that most of them don't want to be reminded of the times when they were starting out and they were broke and they got their first exposure on the Joe Franklin Show, right?
Yep. Joe Franklin on the big broadcast, 90.7 FM WFUV with one of the big ones, Rudy Vallee.
Love was something more than just a light love. We never thought of it as fly-by-night love. We lost a lovely inspiration for something called sophistication. Have we forgotten that a distant starlight is far more lovely than a cocktail bar light? These are unromantic cold days. Don't you remember the old days? We walked together in April rains. The city streets were country lanes. Have you forgotten the you and me that used to be? We'd see a movie or do the zoo or window shop the avenue. Don't you remember the you and me that used to be? We loved the organ grinder's ragtime tune, paid a man a dime to see the moon. We read the funnies every Sunday noon, always together. Have you forgotten the fun we knew, the crazy things we used to do? What has become of the you and me that used to be? We loved the organ grinder's ragtime tune, ate a man a dime to see the moon. We read the funnies every Sunday noon, always together. Have you forgotten the fun we knew, those crazy things we used to do? What has become of the you and me that you?
Thank you. love, and oh, how very lovely it seems. The ideal of my dreams lives for me. I live for love, because I know that life is complete when two hearts beat in sweet sympathy. In love I find the charm of spring, tang of fall, the balm of spring, the summer skies, the cheer of winter too. I live for love, no wonder I am thrilled all day through. I live for love, I live for you.
To dance from 8 till 5. All the fishes still alive are having a ball. It's some affair. They'll all be there, from the herring to the whale. They'll turn out to shake a scale in Neptune's hall. Come along and follow me to the bottom of the sea. We'll join in the jamboree at the codfish bowl. Woo! Lobsters dancing in a row, shuffle off to Buffalo. Jellyfish sway to and fro at the codfish bowl. Finn and Hattie lead the eel through an Irish reel. The catfish is a dancing man, but he can like the sardine can. Tuna's trucking left and right, Ninny's mooching, what a night. There won't be a hook in sight at the codfish bowl.
Big broadcast on 90.7 FM WFUV. We began with Rudy Valley with Carol Gibbons and his Savoy Hotel Orpheans, 1937, The You and Me That Used to Be, an Ali Rubel song. After that, a Mort Dixon-Ali Rubel collaboration, I Live for Love, October 1935, a not-quite-original Dixieland jazz band on trombone and crooning, Russ Morgan. And finally, from the picture Captain January at the Codfish Ball, 1936, the Betty Boop girl, Mae Questel. She died last Sunday. She was 89 years old. Joe Franklin is my guest on tonight's big broadcast, 90.7 FM WFUV. I saw yesterday in David Hinckley's column, and thank you, David Hinckley. You're consistently generous to Mr. Franklin and myself.
This man, I'll tell you, David Hinckley, could write on any subject. This man has got to be a Pulitzer Prize winner soon. This man, I mean, I don't want to gush, but nobody, I mean, this man can take on any subject, and he's got a way with words that defies words.
He's been very good to me over the years, and you know, he knows music and he knows radio, and it's a pleasure to read his column.
It's interesting, Rich, how many people, when they buy the Daily News, which has 12,000 features and 800 columnists, the first thing they turn to is the radio section in the back to read David Hinckley's radio ramblings, right?
Yep, I always look for myself.
First, right? Why not?
Coming up, speaking of radio, coming up after tonight's big broadcast at 11 o'clock, Classic Radio with an episode of Quiet Please and The Adventures of Harry Lime. I'm Rich Connedy. This is a silver anniversary edition of the big broadcast, 90.7 FM WFUV. My guest is Joe Franklin. He is in the studio, also in the studio, for this very special occasion, my objectively beautiful bride, Manhattan Mary hyphen Connedy. Joe, we were just trying to come up with, if we tried to come up with Mary songs, we'd be here into classic radio.
Well, I've got so many 78s, 78 RPMs by Irving Kaufman and by Arthur Fields with titles like There's Something About the Name of Mary That the Whole World Seems to Love, and I'm Looking for a Girl Named Mary, and of course the obvious Mary's a grand old name, and probably the third or fourth biggest selling sheet music seller of all time is a song called Oh, What a Pal Was Mary. Oh, What a Gal Was She. An angel was born on Easter morn, and God sent her down to me. Oh, I love that song.
We've got that one framed.
Really?
Yeah.
Love that song. And did we mention the obvious one? Mary's a Grand Old Name was the famous one by George M. I knew George M. Cohan, by the way. I knew Irving Berlin.
My
and,
goodness.
Irving Berlin, of course, was very happy when his old songs came back. He was thrilled when Willie Nelson brought back Blue Skies. He was thrilled when Linda Ronstadt brought back What'll I Do. Mm-hmm. He loved that. He told me that some of the songs that he wrote, he never liked. He never liked Easter Parade. Never liked There's No Business Like Show Business. He never thought they would catch on, those two songs. Look, now they're super classics. And, of course, what's the anniversary eventually, Rich, on God Bless America?
Coming up this November, it's the 60th anniversary, I think, of Kate Smith introducing God Bless America on her CBS radio
about
show.
About 1938, right?
Yeah.
And she wanted something patriotic, so she says, Irving, do me a favor, write me something. He was busy that week, so he went to his trunk and he pulled out something he had written 20 years previously called God Bless America. He said, here's something, give it a shot, and it became her theme song. And it earned many, many, many millions, which he gave every penny to Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, and various war charities, because he claimed he didn't want to exploit or capitalize on the country that had taken him from abject poverty to fame and riches. So he gave all the money from God Bless America to good charities. He was a nice man.
You know, I've mentioned this. I don't think I've mentioned this on the air, but I've talked about it with Mary. It just amazes me. And you talk about these success stories,
right?
these immigrant stories. They come to these shores.
Yes.
It's amazing how many songwriters were not born in the U.S. and in some cases didn't even come to the States until in their teens. So the English was a second language, and yet they were able to create, using what was not their native tongue, some of the most memorable American popular songs.
There must be some kind of a God-given gift that gives them that way with words, that blessing. Now, the big show that's going to be the all-time smash of the decade, they say, is going to be Ragtime. Now, do you think we ought to mention that Mr. Berlin sort of paved the way for the big ragtime boom when he wrote Alexander's Ragtime Band back
That's
in
right.
1911, right? So I mentioned when he was happy. He was unhappy when he was in love with a lady in the mid-20s named Ellen McKay, whose father was the owner of Postal Telegraph. And because of religious differences, the father wouldn't let them get married. So the father sent her to Europe to forget. And while she was away, he was very lonely, Mr. Berlin, and he wrote Remember and All Alone. And when they came back, they secretly got married. And, of course, she was, when you dropped from the will, she was no longer the heiress anyhow. So And then later on, when Postal Telegraph went bankrupt in 1929, Mr. Berlin bailed out his father-in-law. So that was what you call some kind of sweet revenge, right?
Mm-hmm, I'll say.
But Mr. Berlin was the greatest.
Now, we just heard Mae Questel at the Codfish Ball, and I know from...
Disinherited. I knew it would come to me.
That you had Mae Questel as a guest on your program many times, and you honored her on your program last night on OR. We've got another recording by Mae Questel with Red Norvo, who is still very much with us. I think he's going to be turning 90 in a month or two.
You know who else, Rich, becomes 90 next week? Milton Berle.
No kidding.
He's going to be honored with a big celebration at Atlantic City. Milton Berle told me that his big excitement these days, he sits around at night with Bob Hope and Henny Youngman, and they have big excitement to see whose foot falls asleep first. That's what you call big-time excitement, right?
Well, we're going to hear Mae Questel, and this is a song written by Charlie Tobias. And I remember tuning in your program one night and hearing one of the Tobias brothers on your show.
They're all gone now. The last one was Henry. He died about a month ago, right?
Oh, gosh.
They were fabulous. Rose O'Day, Miss You. What a beautiful family, huh?
Yeah. In fact, all three of them wrote Miss You.
Right.
There was
a
triple Tobias song.
Beautiful.
Well, here's a Charlie Tobias song, Mae Questel in 1936.
My sweetheart, you're gorgeous tonight. That's a song I heard on a phonograph. The needle caught on the broken half and kept playing and saying, my sweetheart. I kiss you tonight. All at once I started to think of you, the things I wanted to say and do when we're dancing, romancing. The broken record played on and then the broken record started again, my sweetheart. I love you, I do. Oh, the tune sounds silly, I will agree. The words are daffy, but not to me. For there's no doubt it's the way I feel about you. My sweetheart. I'm crazy about you. That's a song I heard on the phonograph. The needle caught on the broken half and kept playing and saying, my sweetheart. Without you, I'm blue. All at once I thought of the night last week. You popped the question but couldn't speak and just stuttered. You started to shout, oh, woo, 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 but nothing came out, my sweetheart. I'm sending this token, the record that's broken, I'm really not joking, you see. Oh, the tune sounds silly, I will agree. The words are daffy, but not to me. For there's no doubt it's the way I feel about you.
Thank you. unexpectedly a lovely face you see, and suddenly pop goes your heart. Without a warning word, a charming voice is heard, and suddenly pop goes your heart. When life is just a bowl of withered fruit, so sour and dry, you just want to cry. Then presto change, oh, you're in love, and life is a cherry pie. You don't amount to much, then someone's hand you touch, and suddenly pop goes your heart. The clouds of gray roll away on the day your love dreams get their start. What if you chance to quarrel? You'll say goodbye and then, quite unexpectedly, that lovely face you see, and suddenly pop goes your heart again.
Big broadcast on 90.7 FM WFUV in New York, celebrating 50 years as Fordham University's voice. For 25 of those years, there's been the big broadcast on 90.7 FM WFUV. I'm Rich Connedy, and my very special guest for this silver anniversary big broadcast is the king of nostalgia, Joe Franklin.
I dropped in to just say many, many more anniversaries, many more silver ones, gold ones, and I was telling Mrs. Connedy that to be here tonight, Rich, I gave up some very big deals. I gave a $3 job and a $2 job and a couple of small ones. No, on a serious note, there's nothing in the world I'd rather do than say congratulations to a gentleman who was a very important part of our fabric and a part of our culture. And I mean, I'll chat with you as long as you want, but in case you're getting rid of me, I just want to say now that I am very honored to be here on this most newsworthy and noteworthy celebration, this occasion.
Well, I'm keeping you for the duration tonight, John.
I'm ready if you can take me.
We started out with Mae Questel, The Broken Record, a Charlie Tobias lyric. After that, a Mort Dixon, Harry Rubel song from the picture Happiness Ahead, Pop Goes Your Heart. Alan Kane with the Lou Stone Band in January 35. Lou Stone's regular vocalist at that time, Al Boley, was over here playing the Rainbow Room with Ray Noble. And finally, 1937, When a Lady Meets a Gentleman Down South, Sophie Tucker. You know, Joe, I picked out Sophie Tucker to play tonight because I knew she was one of your favorites. It turns out it's the anniversary of her birth. She was born in Poland January 13th. 1884. She died February 9th, 1966. I mentioned to you that I used to see her on the Ed Sullivan Show, and of course on
the Joe Franklin Show many times. She was known as the last of the Red Hot Mamas. I knew her when she was one of many, many Red Hot Mamas, but she was the survivor. And I had her on one time with the aforementioned Gene Autry. Could you believe that? They were so great together. I've got maybe 10,000 photographs. We've got a put out a good coffee table book someday, some of those photographs. Right, Rich?
Well, that'd be terrific, Joe.
We'll collaborate on that. And my producer, the gentleman who brought me here tonight, Rich Ornstein, same name as you, Rich Connedy, Rich Ornstein, he is also a fan, and he wants to extend to you felicitations and best wishes for many, many more happy years. And what you do, it's not a job, but you love it. This is fun, right? How many people can get paid for what they enjoy doing, right?
I can't imagine any other way of spending a Sunday night. Next Sunday, I'm going to have another radio colleague, Phil Schaap of WKCR. Guy knows jazz inside out. It's scary how much he knows about jazz.
Good man, yeah.
And we'll be listening to some of the earliest recordings of Gene Krupa and the songs of Arthur Johnston and James Monaco. Coming up next on the big broadcast, another from the Joe Franklin Presents series, Roaring Twenties Roar Again. In a moment, Sophie Tucker.
Hi, Rita Houston here. Coming up on Tuesday, it is Songs About the Radio. Well, we could certainly come up with a few of those. Join us through the day on Tuesday on City Folk on WFUV.
You're gonna be so lonely. You'll miss my hugging. You're gonna miss my kissing. You're gonna miss me, honey, when I'm far away. I feel so lonely for you only. 'Cause you know, honey, you've always had your way. Your mama, some of these days, some of these days, you'll miss me, honey. Some of these days, you're gonna be so lonely. You'll miss my hugging, you're gonna miss my kissing. Oh, you're gonna miss me, honey, when I'm far away. You know, honey, you've always had your way. And when you leave me,
along with the breeze, trailing the rails, roaming the sea, like the birdies that sing in the trees, pleasing to live, living to please. The sky is the only roof I have over my head. Nature makes me a bed. I'm just going along as I please, breezing along with the breeze. I'm breezing along with the breeze. I have been a rover since I was a child. No one to love or care for me. No one to love or care for me. Not around or over, kind of grew up wild. My home's wherever I may be.
I'm just breezing along with the breeze, trailing the rails, roaming the sea.
Like a vagabond,
like the birdies that sing in the trees, pleasing to live, living to please.
The sky is the only roof I have over my head, and when I'm weary, Mother Nature makes me a bed.
Going along as I please, breathing along with the breeze, the breeze.
I just had a sort of feeling this morning.
Thank you.
are listening to the third hippest radio show in the 48 contiguous United States. That's the big broadcast on 90.7 FM WFUV. 1927 recording, Who's That Knocking at My Door? Libby Holman, her first record. Who's That Knocking at My Door? Written by Gus Kahn and Seymour Simons. He was born in Detroit January 14th, 1896. He wrote a couple of songs with Nora Bays in 1918, wrote into the late 1930s, died in Detroit February 12, 1949. We began with Sophie Tucker, the Ted Lewis Band in 1926, Some of These Days, her signature song, which I think she first recorded on a cylinder back in 1910.
And she used to tell me, Rich, that she used to say, I remember her exact words, she would say, every singer has a song, nostalgic. They sing till they're neurotic and neuralgic. And her song was Some of These Days, which she once told me that she sang 70,000 times. And I believe it is 70,000 times. That was her theme song.
And that was taken from one of your CDs. Joe Franklin, the King of Nostalgia, presents the Roaring Twenties, Roar Again.
At the peak of her fame, she once showed me her concert. Well, this also, Al Jolson, the peak of, when Al Jolson was the highest salaried entertainer in the world, Rich, his salary, he showed me his contracts. I was very close with Al Jolson. His salary was $4,000 a week. $4,000 a week. Now, Barbara Streisand, I met her with two years ago, when she made, I think, $21 million for two nights in Las Vegas. Remember that $21 million? I told her I wouldn't want that job. It's not a steady gig. but the point I'm making, that these people today are so lucky. They're what you call the beneficiaries of, I guess, the electronic age. It might have begun when Jackie Gleason got that multi-million dollar contract, or Milton Berle. But I'm saying, years ago, the biggest industry in the world was steel. Then it was transportation. Then it was government. But the biggest industry now, in terms of gross volume and money and perks and golden parachutes and number of people employed, is entertainment. Entertainment is now the biggest industry in the world. And mm-hmm. this came from nowhere. In the old days, show business was just another business, right? In fact, fathers would tell their daughters, you must not go into show business. You know, they were saying, life upon the wicked stage, right? But show business today is the royalty of the world. Sylvester Stallone, and now John Travolta told me the other day, he makes $1 million more than Sylvester Stallone. He makes now $21 million instead of $20 million for a movie. So, whoever thought this day would come? I told Sylvester Stallone I got to work 2 weeks for that kind of money, right? $21 million. But did you ever think, Rich, that you would see a day when these entertainers would make that kind of money, right?
I'm waiting for my day. That's what I'm waiting for.
Oh, what a world, huh?
Joe, we also heard from The Revelers in a song written by Seymour Simons and Richard Whiting, 1926, Breezing Along with the Breeze. Now, you knocked off a couple of those Revelers as we were listening.
The Revelers, and we've got to tell the young people again, they were enormously popular. They were Wilfred Glenn, the basso, Louis James. Did we mention James Melton?
No,
James Melton. And a gentleman named Elliot Shaw, S-H-A-W, who had a beautiful voice.
And a fellow that played piano for them sometimes, he became the music director for NBC, Frank Banta.
Oh, Frank Black. Maybe you're right. There was a Frank Banta and a Frank Black. You're right.
And one of them, Black, was, for a time, Jack Benny's band leader.
That's right. That's right. Jack Benny, he would say, later on he would say, play Don. That was Don Bester. Then later on it was Phil Harris.
Yeah, Bob Crosby at the final years on the radio. Now, what about the Avon Comedy Four?
Avon Comedy Four, they were so popular. They were Joe Smith and Charles Dale, the Sunshine Boys. Remember Dr. Cronkite? And Irvin Kaufman and a man named Harry Goodwin. Mm-hmm. They were the Avon Comedy Four, and they had a lot of big records. They were big.
Now, your personal favorites, I get the impression, are some of the real early acoustic artists.
I love Arthur Fields. I love Irvin Kaufman. My all-time favorite, you can't take away from the fact that I'm an Eddie Cantor fanatic and Al Jolson fanatic, but my all-time favorite is a gentleman named Henry Burr. Remember his name? Henry Burr, B-U-R-R, made more 78th and more records, I guess, than anybody who ever lived. In those days, their whole career was just making records. They didn't care about vaudeville. Henry Burr, Billy Murray, Irvin Kaufman, Arthur Fields, Sam Ash. These people made nothing but records. Mm-hmm. You could go by any open window on a summer night, you hear Henry Burr's voice coming out of every second window. Remember the days of the old wound-up phonograph, the old crank-up handle? And Henry Burr was he made a record that was number one for 22 weeks in a row in 1921, a song called My Buddy.
Mm-hmm. I had somebody call me a month or so ago,
yeah.
Asked for Will Oakland.
He was called a countertenor. He had a high-pitched voice, and his theme song in the early days of radio was called Let's Grow Old Together and Be Sweethearts, Good Fellows, and Pals. Will Oakland, he was a good singer, and those were great days.
Now here's another singer, and this singer, in fact, I have heard Bing Crosby cite as an influence, Marion Harris.
Beautiful voice.
Marion Harris in November 1924, Carl Fenton's orchestra. After that, we're going to hear from Jolson.
Mm.
The Blues Have Got Me.
Beautiful.
Was an organist. How he ate up Chopin and Liszt. I guess I am just the music black sheep of my family. Classics don't mean a thing at all. Give me a hot band in a hole. A wicked saxophone to make me roll from home to carry flow. The blues have got me. The blues have got me. I don't know what it has, but what it has me on the go. The blues have got me. The blues have got me. Classics are great for the highbrows who crave for it. It's not in my line. Jazz up to date, now I'll say I'm a slave for it. The kind that makes your heart throw away is hey, hey. A baby grand is grand, but grander is a low-down instrument. A trombone kills me, a banjo kills me. And when a cornet goes ooh-wah, I'm in for the night. Good night. I like my music hard, I'm not pretending maybe. I'm what you call a cynical patriotic baby. I'm off my nut about the strut, the blues have got me now. A wicked saxophone could make me warm. The blues have got me. I don't know what it has, but the blues have got me. Classics are great for the highbrows who crave for it. It's not in my line. Jazz up to date, now I'll say I'm a slave to it. The kind that makes a horse throw away its head. A baby grand is grand, but a banjo kills me. And when a cornet goes ooh-wah, I'm in for the night. Good night. I like my music hard, I'm not pretending maybe. I'm what you call a single patriotic baby. I'm open not about the trust the blues have got me now.
I looked in my little red book and I found I had a date. Had a happy day. I can be late. Look me over. How do I look now? Tell me, am I there? Tell me on the square. Could I make anyone care? I combed my hair, brushed my hat. I even washed my dog and cat. Tonight's my night with baby. The onions that I like so much, for weeks I haven't dared a touch. Tonight's my night with baby. Now I call sweetie baby, and here's the reason why. Every time we cuddle, it works just like a lullaby. I hear the parson in the hall, so we'd be there if I should call. Tonight's my night with baby. He'll just like I'm walking on wheels. I think that I could fly. Look in my eye, and you'll see why. Just had rubber put on my heels. I've no time to lose. Do your duty, shoes. I'm run away from the blues. If she says yes, then I'll say yes. If she says no, I'll still say yes. Tonight's my night with baby. And if she says do, I'll say do. If she says don't, I'll still say do. Tonight's my night with baby. We'll move to the North Pole. I know that we're not wrong. You know, at the North Pole, the nights up there are 6 months long. I guess she's nice. I hope I'm right. But if I'm wrong, I'll know tonight. Tonight's my night with baby. I got my ma, got my pa. I put them on my motor car. Tonight's my night with baby. And I said to my driver, Jack, just drive and drive and don't come back. Cause tonight's my night with baby. Say, we've seen every movie. We've seen every play. We gotta have amusement, but we want it in a different way. I fixed the lights at 10:30. They'll all blow out, oh boy, and then tonight's my night with baby. Thank you.
Boley with Fred Elizalde and his music in 1928, I'm Sorry, Sally. Al Boley, born 108 years ago, January 7th, he died in 1941. We began with Marion Harris, Carl Fenton conducting, November 1924, The Blues Have Got Me. And after that, from 1926, Al Jolson with Carl Fenton, Tonight's My Night with Baby. Now, Joe Franklin, that record has two connections with you. There's the lyricist Irving Caesar and Jolson himself. First, talk about Irving Caesar. He must have been the greatest guest to have in the world.
Irving Caesar wrote I Want to Be Happy and Swanee and Tea for Two, and he lived till 101. I think he was one of the first ones to use that classic line that if he knew he was going to live that long, he would have taken better care of himself. Irving Caesar was, and I had Irving Caesar on my radio show once with Al Jolson together. And they hugged and embraced. They went way back, you know, because it was Swanee that made Irving Caesar rich. He had huge estate when he died, about the age of 101. Jolson only lived to the age of 64. And I guess it's no secret that Al Jolson died rich, as much a casualty of the Korean conflict as any fighting man. He was told not to keep going back overseas, but he kept going back to entertain the servicemen. And he just wouldn't see it. He had a very weak heart. He had only one lung. And he kept going, and he smoked, and his doctors warned him not to go, but he kept going, and he came back. He did a Bing Crosby radio taping in San Francisco in October of 1950, went back to his hotel room, and he died that night of a heart attack. And he should have taken care of himself. He could have been around for a long time.
Now,
sad.
The radio shows, the Jolson radio shows, and the records, and even Jolson on film, really doesn't give people the complete picture. I mean, You saw him.
Right on the head, Rich. You had to see the man. This man, I think, is the only star in the history of the world who was in a Broadway show. Didn't matter what the vehicle was, because let's say the show started at 8 o'clock. In those days, shows began at 8 or 8:30. About 20 minutes into the show, he would say to the audience, "Folks, should I send the cast home?" They would say yes. And he would do the whole 2.5 next hours just singing to the audience. They didn't care. The vehicle did not matter. It could have been Bombo or Big Boy or whatever the show was. There were many Jolson Broadway shows.
Sinbad. Hold On to Your Hats.
Hold On to Your Hats, right, with your stuff, with Jinx Falkenberg and Martha Ray and the Mad Russian. No matter who was in the show, it didn't matter. He would say, "Should I send them home?" He would step out of character, and they would shriek, and he would just sing Jolson songs for 2.5 hours. The man, when he would say, "You ain't heard nothing yet," he meant it, because he was, there'd never be another. He was billed on all of his old records as the world's greatest entertainer, and who's to deny that, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got coming up another man who owned the stage when he stepped on it, another person who was a guest on your show, Eddie Cantor.
Banjo Eyes, the man who made Whoopee. Those were the days of songs with sequels. After the song called Making Whoopee, there was a song called Who's This Girl Named Whoopee That All the Men Want to Make? Well, that was a fun era of songs. There was a song called Yes, We Have No Bananas. Then there was a sequel called I'd Like to Kill the Guy Who Wrote Yes, We Have No Bananas. That song was so popular that in 1922, most of the world thought that was America's national anthem. That's how popular that song was.
I've got the Yes, We Have No Bananas blues.
That was the second one, right? There were three in a row.
But tell me about Eddie Cantor.
Eddie Cantor was a beautiful man. Very facetious, very sarcastic, but very, very dapper and handsome. I mean, if you would meet him and you didn't know that he was a comedian, you would think he was a virile, romantic leading man. Wore beautiful suits, impeccably creased pants, and, you know, he was had big, beautiful eyes, and always tanned and suave and slim, and he was a very, very... When Sam Goldwyn signed him up to make movies in 1930, Sam Goldwyn's wife actually took a little fixation on Eddie. He was a really handsome man, but he was number one in radio in 1931-32, and he was the all-time record holder at the Palace Theater, broke every attendance record when he appeared there alone and with Georgie Jessel, and he was the only man to beat Ed Sullivan in the ratings on Sunday nights when he was the host of the Colgate Comedy Hour, and his records were very big sellers. There was one record that he made that he was very upset. He wanted to, he was livid. He was fuming. He made a record called, from his show called Banjo Eyes, a song called We're Having a Baby, My Baby and Me. And it was banned by some of the radio stations because they were considered somewhat provocative back in that era. So he was very upset about that. But he simmered down. He cooled down.
Well, we have him now commenting on his stock market exploits. This is from October 29th, 1929.
When he was totally wiped out, he lost every penny, so it's a joke, but it's not a joke, right?
Eddie Cantor's tips on the stock market.
Well, folks, they got me in the market just as they got everybody else. In fact, they're not calling it the stock market any longer. It's called the stuck market. Everyone is stuck. Well, except my uncle. He got a good break. He died in September. Poor fellow had diabetes at 45. That's nothing. I had Chrysler at 110. With the way the market has been running, many a man goes down to business in a Rolls Royce and comes home in a Mack truck. If the market takes another slump, I know thousands and thousands of married men who will have to leave their sweethearts and go back to their wives. Everyone is singing the margin song from Wall Street. Sucker, come back to me. Of course, if you can dig up the margin, you're all right. If not, brother, you're gone. Nowadays, when a man walks into a hotel and requests a room on the 19th floor, the clerk asks him, for sleeping or jumping? I met one chap in the lobby of a hotel the other day, and he looked quite sleepy. And so I asked him, I said, why are your eyes half shut? He answered, Eddie, I had to give up my room at 4:30 this morning. I had it on margin. You know, a lot of brokers down on Wall Street have devised a wonderful scheme. With each 5 shares of stock, they hand you a loaded gun. They don't tell you what to do with it, but you can use your own judgment. Before I quit talking, I want to give you one sure tip on the market. Go out tomorrow and buy National Casket. You can't go wrong. And by the way, have you noticed that the market is reflected even in the way women are dressing? Have you noticed how their skirts have dropped? Personally, I shouldn't worry about my stocks. I know my broker is going to carry me. Yes, sir. He and 3 other pallbearers.
I love you so, and I'm sure you mustn't know that my heart cries for you, only you. Tell me, my dear, what I'm longing to hear. Let my hopes and my wishes come true. Call me darling, call me sweetheart, call me dear. Thrill me, darling, with the words I want to hear. In your dark eyes so smiling, a promise I see. But your 2 lips won't say you care for me. Oh, my darling, if my daydreams would come true, you would meet me at a secret rendezvous. And I'd find the paradise that lies deep in your heart. Call me darling, call me sweetheart, call me dear. Thank you. darling, if my daydreams would come true, you would meet me at a secret rendezvous, and I'd find the paradise that lies deep in your arms. Call me darling, call me sweetheart, call me dear.
Began with Eddie Cantor's Tips on the Stock Market, recorded October 29th, 1929. After that, direct from a pair of Victor 78s, Russ Colombo with Leonard Joy conducting, 1931, Call Me Darling, Call Me Sweetheart, Call Me Dear. And finally in 29, Rudy Valley, his Connecticut Yankees, and Honey, written by Haven Gillespie, Richard Whiting, and Seymour Simons. Seymour Simons, born 101 years ago Wednesday. He died in February 1949. I'm Rich Connedy, and this is the Silver Anniversary Edition of the Big Broadcast on 90.7 FM WFUV. Making this Silver Anniversary extra special, the King of Nostalgia in the studio, Joe Franklin. And, Joe, I've got a request for you. I mean, it's your request.
I'm ready.
Belle Baker.
I loved Belle Baker. She was born on Christmas Day. I would take her out every single Christmas, and she didn't like Sophie Tucker. they were competitors, but when Belle Baker appeared in her golden age at the Palace or at Lowe's, Pitkin or RKO, what's the beautiful one in Bronx with the stars on the ceiling, the RKO Paradise or one of those, right? I mean, the audiences would line up around the block 11 times. When she would sing My Yiddish Mama, I mean, the women in the audience would just go hysterically wild with tears. She had a throb in her voice, and when she sang a song called My Sin Was Loving You, Not Wisely But Too Well, and that was also one of her beautiful classics.
Let's listen to Belle Baker.
Without you, oh, without you, they can live. I want to lose them. Oh, baby, take my arms. I'll never use them. Oh, baby, your goodbye. Left me with eyes that cry. Oh, baby, I got to go on, dear, without you. You took the part that once was mine. Oh, why not take off, oh, baby?
Thank you.
Henry Allen Jr. and his orchestra in the band, Albert Nicholas, J.C. Higginbotham, and Charlie Holmes, It Should Be You. Louis Armstrong and his orchestra before that in 1932, a Seymour Simons, Gerald Marx collaboration, All of Me. And we began with a request from Mr. Joe Franklin. That was Belle Baker, My Sin. I think that's 1928, the Silver, Brown, and Henderson song. Big broadcast, 90.7 FM, WFUV. We've got about 10 minutes left to go on tonight's program. Just an exceptional big broadcast, if we do say so ourselves, Joe Franklin.
Well, you mentioned Louis Armstrong. Here it is, a Sunday, and I was thinking about maybe 25 Sundays in my life when I used to go to Yankee Stadium with a gentleman named Joe Glazer, who managed Louis Armstrong, and I would sit there and watch the games, sitting with Joe Glazer and Louis Armstrong. They were both, I mean, all-out fanatical fans of the Yankees. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, who could have a... Is that a precious memory?
I'll say.
Louis Armstrong and yours truly watching the ball game, right?
That's terrific.
And the players would come around and shake his hands. They loved him. I think his home now is about to become a shrine or a museum, right?
The home in Corona.
Right.
And there is a museum of sorts established, I think, at Queens College. They have a Louis Armstrong Center. And we just ran into the fellow who's the curator of the Armstrong Museum, which is, I think it's at Queens College.
I've got a photograph of yours truly on TV with Nat King Cole and Louis Armstrong, and Nat King Cole made the remark, he says, Louis Armstrong has a voice that you can see on the radio. Isn't that a beautiful line? And he had that bright, happy smile that had that glow. Satchel mouth, right? People sometimes ask me why they call him Pops. I said, probably because he was the father of everything that is in music, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think any singer or any instrumentalist can ever not acknowledge the fact that whatever they're doing now, that Louis Armstrong did first.
Yeah, no question about it. Big broadcast, 90.7 FM. I am delighted to have Joe Franklin as my guest. In a moment, the Songbird of the South.
Hi, this is Meg Griffin. And one of my favorite things about working at WFUV is the fact that the artists know that this is a truly music-friendly place. So they come here to talk and to play. Our visit from Liz Queller, who considers Oklahoma City with her latest release, Silent Witness, will air again Monday night at 8. And she'll play Nightbirds at the Bottom Line this Thursday, the 15th. Liz Queller, Monday at 8 on WFUV. Thank you.
Maybe. Who knows? And you know, maybe maybe she's living happy and well, and maybe she's loving someone instead. Oh, maybe, maybe, who knows? But I'm just sighing and I'm crying. She fills my heart, my broken heart. Morning and the dawning, it brings no change but sorrow. Maybe she needs me, maybe she's blue, maybe she'd love me more than I knew. Say maybe, maybe, who knows?
We wrapped up tonight's big broadcast with Ted Lewis's band, Maybe Who Knows, Gypsy Fiddles from Arthur Tracy in 1933, and River Stay Away From My Door, Kate Smith with Guy Lombardo and his Royal Canadians in 1931. Joe Franklin, thank you.
Rich, there's no maybe about the fact that you're a marvelous host. I want to thank William, the greeter at the Fordham Gate. He's a fan, and I'm a fan of yours, and let's always be doing what they call a recip. You on my show, me on your show, okay?
Let's not wait another 25 years to get together on the big broadcast.
Guaranteed not.
Thank you, Joe Franklin, my special guest on tonight's Silver Anniversary Big Broadcast. Don't miss Standard Time on Saturday. Next Sunday night, Phil Schaff plus Early Krupa, Smith Ballou, the songs of James V. Monaco and Arthur Johnston. This is WFUV in New York, public radio from Fordham University. Stay tuned for Classic Radio, Quiet Please, and The Adventures of Harry Lime. Until next week, Big Broadcast, Rich Connery reminding you to lather, rinse, repeat, do something about those fingernails, live fast and dye your hair, and above all else, don't you never forget, rhythm saved the world. Aloha.